And the title of my message here today is, By Dying, He Destroyed My Death. By Resurrection, He Restored My Life. By dying, He destroyed my death. And by resurrection, He restored my life. Let's turn, if you would, to First Corinthians, the 15th chapter. And we want to just go here this morning and see what the Holy Spirit of God might open up to us this beautiful resurrection time and what it really means. I have a real challenge in my heart here is that we just don't preach at you, but we give you the word of the Lord so you know it's not Mel Weaver's words, it's God's words. I have learned through my dad and mother that it pays to have the word of God at your disposal 24/7 and understanding God's word. Here we see in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, Paul is reminiscing over the resurrection of Christ. And he is saying in the first couple of verses here, Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand. I love Paul's descriptive words in helping us to understand the all-inclusiveness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I preached it, you received it, and we stand in it. Paul talks a lot about stand fast. Stand fast. We are living in a time that if we as believers do not stand fast, and I mean, declare, walk in, surround yourself with the Word of God. Let me cue you in if you do not understand the times we're living in. You are going to be destroyed by the enemy of your soul if you don't stand fast. I've been talking to quite a few of you here. The crazy stuff that's been coming our way. Amen. And we need to understand we need each other like never before. And so Paul goes on and he shares this with you, by which you also are saved if you keep in memory. Oh, I like that. Where does your memory come from? Right here. Your mind. Keep in your mind. See, that's why there is so many mind games going on with all of us. So he's talking about that. Keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. What he means, if you do not stand strong on the word of God, what your life is going to be, it's going to be a vain life. That's what he's saying there. It goes on in verse 3 and 4. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which also you received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. What does that mean? From the beginning of eternity, God had a plan in mind to redeem you and I back to Him. Even though Adam gave an all-out sellout to the whole human race to not really be images of the creative power of God when he made that choice. But thank God, in Genesis 3:15, the Bible tells us that the enemy just bruised the heel of the seed of the woman. The enemy just bruised the heel of it. And that's what we just saw in the crucifixion. question. Satan thought that he won when Christ was there on the cross. But Colossians tells us, Paul said, if he would have understood what really was taking place on the cross, he would have never crucified it, because what happened on the cross, God's battle plan to destroy him came forth, and now, thank God, we have power over the enemy of our soul. How many can say amen? We need to understand the bigger picture. And it's high time we as God's people walk according to what we say we are. That's my message, really. And it's going to continue to be my message. Let's go on. Verse number 10. He talks himself about being the least of all the apostles. And I'm not meet even to be an apostle. And he goes on and he states here, he said, because I persecuted the church. And he's reflecting on all he did to try to destroy the church of the living God. God, thank God, knocked him off his high horse, and God turned him around. How many can say, if God can turn Brother Paul around, he can turn every one of us around? That's a faith that I have to believe for all of us who are going through these crazy things, you know. If God did it for Brother Paul, he can do it for me. He can do it for you. Hallelujah. And so he acknowledges that. He said, I'm not worthy, but I'm here in this place, and so I'm going to speak, he said. In verse 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labor more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which is in me. Not until you and I recognize that I am what I am because of his grace, are we going to be able to overcome everything that comes against us today. I am what I am because Paul recognized the I am. Remember, Moses was there. Who should I tell Pharaoh, send me? You'll get this crazy picture. Moses, God said, you tell him, I am. Send you. I am. What do you mean? You just go tell him, the I am sent me. You get that? You get that picture of, here, the Pharaoh, the one that is destroying all the God's people and making them work hard. What a mind game that must have been to Pharaoh that day. But Moses declared, I am. Because when your I am meets his I am, and we truly become the I am of God today, we're going to see God begin to work through each one of us. So, let's say that all together. I am what I am. Let's say, I am what I am by the grace of God. Again, let's say it together. By the grace of God, I am what I am. If Brother Paul could say that, we have a right to say that. We have a right to say that too. And so we need to understand that what God is doing today, he's opening up our eyes. And in the morning service, that's one thing I think was really spoken to us, that just as Mary and Elizabeth went to the tomb, and then the disciples went to the tomb, and their eyes were open, they saw the angel standing there. And God help us to open up our eyes. He goes on to say, If Christ be preached, that he rose from the dead, now say among you that there is no resurrection of the dead. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching in vain, and your faith is vain. Yea, we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God
that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead raise not. He said, if the dead raise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, and you are yet in your sin. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable, if only in this life. Now, is Christ raised from the dead? Everybody say, Christ is raised from the dead. and become the first fruits of them that sleep. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, we all die. In Adam, we all die. We're dead. Okay. We're dead beings. In Adam, living out our natural life, going according to our natural understanding, going according to our ways, having our life wanting to be exalted. But, he said, it's very interesting to hear what he said. For as in Adam all died, even so, hey, in Christ shall all be made alive. Hallelujah. In Christ, all shall be made alive. So I want to see something here because I believe we need to make some declarations here this morning with our life. I'm going to give you a time, and if you believe that you are in Christ, I just want you to stand. Just one moment. Because I believe that we need to testify of who we are, whose we are in the land today. How many can say amen? We need to make these declarations. And it is so important for us to declare that we believe that we are in Christ put together in the storms of life and weather. We need to make prophetic declarations that God is the God that is alive today and not Mel Weaver or not you. We need to make a prophetic declaration that we believe that Christ dwells in us and we have faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us that we might become heirs of his salvation and we may be manifesting his glory and his grace here upon this earth. So my question to you here today, because I believe we need to be made confronted with the truth of God's word. And after I make this statement, if you believe it, just stand. That's all I'm asking you to do. That's not too much. But it's a powerful declaration of what all the demons in hell are going to see. All the angels in heaven are going to see. That I believe that I am in Christ. And Satan has no power in my life. And the things that he has been crazily trying to throw at me and overcome me are destroyed in Jesus' name. You being in Christ means that you're living your life, you're thinking your life, you're walking your life according to his standards and not your standards. You being in Christ means that in every problem, in every situation, you are an overcomer. You are not defeated. You are not an accident going somewhere to happen, but God has a divine plan and purpose for your life. By you being in Christ Jesus, it means that he is going to walk through you throughout this coming day, throughout this coming week, throughout this coming year, and the rest of your life. By you being in Christ, you are giving God the opportunity to show to the world that there is one person in this world that is going to manifest the glory of God and is going to reveal the heart of God and is going to fulfill the plan and purpose of Almighty God that he had before creation, that we were in him put together and the storms of life were weathered. Someone say amen. I want to help you today. I don't want this to be just another Easter season. I, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I want to give you opportunity to go away from this place supernaturally changed by the power of Almighty God. He is looking for people who dare to believe that his word is alive today. Tell you what, if you don't, the other is the case. You live a defeated life. You live a life of despondency. You live a life of selfishness. Really? Paul talks a lot about that. I die daily. The result
of the resurrected life of Jesus in you is that every day you have opportunity, every moment you have opportunity to say death to self and alive to God. Now you're being bombarded. We are all being bombarded if we're going to walk in the flesh or in the spirit. But Paul tells us that we are not walking in the flesh anymore. We're not walking to the carnality of this sinful world anymore, but we're walking according to the course of the kingdom of God. So, my question to you this morning is, who in this house dares to believe that as Paul said this very thing, he said, I, by God's grace, I am what I am, and I'm going to live out of his life. If that's your testimony, I just want you to stand now and say, with God's help, I'm going to go forth and be the I am of God in the world with everybody I reach. Everybody I see. Oh, Jesus. I just want you to join hands. Join hands with someone here this morning. Oh, God, help us. Help us to understand this. Father, I'm asking you for a supernatural understanding of the I am, your I am be my I am, and walking according to your standard and your principle. In Jesus' name, we agree. Let's pray for one another. Lord, we agree for one another that we will walk out of this place supernaturally changed by the resurrection power of God. In your precious name, we'll be careful to give you the glory and the praise. And everybody said, everybody said, so be it. Sit down just for a few moments here. Amen. So, for he hath put all things under his feet. He must reign to has put all enemies under his feet, the last enemy that shall be destroyed, and he hath put all things under his feet. And it is written, the first man Adam was made. This is verse 45 of the 15th chapter. The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last man, Adam, was a quickening spirit. That's us. How then, that which was not first was spiritual, but that which was natural. And after that which was natural. The first man was of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As the earthly, such are they which are earthly. And as the heavenly, such as they which are heavenly. As we have bore the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Folks, let me read something to you. In Ephesians 2 and 1, Paul tells us here, I love it, and you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, and where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, and the prince of power of this world, among also you are at your conversation and lust of the flesh, and filled with desires of the flesh, and the mind of the flesh, and by nature the children of wrath. But God. Everybody say, but God. But God. Say, but God again. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You are positioned in another world. We are going to operate in Jesus' name. It's God's grace that helps us here. How many can say that? It's not what I can do. It's what I allow the power of the Spirit to do in my life. Right? I can't do it on my own. I must have his help 24/7. It's by that grace that I am operating now from a position of throne room rights, seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I decree that over you, it's a mindset. It's an understanding. Now, let me cue you in. He's going to give you opportunity every day to see if you really mean what you testify about today. Okay? What does that mean, Pastor? You're going to be challenged. challenged like you have never been challenged. Face reality. That's life. But the only way you can overcome that challenge is realizing the I am is in control of my I am. How many can say amen? Let's stand together as Ben comes back to celebrate with us. And we just want a good time of celebration here as we get ready to leave this place here today. As we go forth and be what God wants us to be. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand.